message was a long time coming. Last time I was asked to give the gospel message, I was had phoned David that morning, and I was sick as a dog. So David had to do the gospel for me, so he covered for me. So this is the message I was supposed to give last month. Apologies. We're going to take our reading from John chapter 5 this evening. It's one of my, but it's one of my favorite passages. I read this passage quite a bit, I really get a lot of encouragement, especially from the first maybe 7 or 8, we'll do the first 11 chapters of John's Gospel are very good, because they kind of, I know we did a thing at John, but they kind of make a group, I think at least, up till that point. But it's good to do these things. One of the big themes in John's Gospel is the theme of water. Jesus' first miracle was that he turns water into wine. Man's at his wedding, and he runs out of wine. He has no wine. The thing that's supposed to bring joy and happiness to his wedding, he runs out of it. And the Lord is there. What he has is these pitchers that for the ritual cleansing. So they take those pitchers, they fill them to the brim with water, and Jesus turns them into wine. And out of this ritual cleansing place, Jesus brings joy. Jesus brings happiness. And he returns this man on maybe the most important day of his life, because he would have gotten nagged for the rest of his life if he'd messed this up. Yeah, and he brought joy to this man and to his marriage and to this new relationship. Yeah, so that's the first introduction to water. The next time we have water is where he must needs go through Samaria. And he goes to Samaria and he meets this woman at the well. And he sits at this well, Jacob's well. And what's interesting is that that's probably where they got water from for ritual cleansing. I don't know if that mightn't be the one from chapter 2, but at least they'd be drawing water. So that's the source of this water. And he meets this woman at this well. She's there early. She had a difficult life. She's had a hard life. She's had 5 husbands. The man she's with is not her husband. And now she meets the 7th man. The 7th man is Jesus Christ. And he talks about this water again. And he says this water that comes out of the well is not going to be good enough. It's not going to last. It's not able to satisfy you. Yeah. So Jesus Christ offers her this water from him and says, man, I'll give you water. If you drink from this water that I will give you, you will never thirst again. You will be satisfied. In fact, so satisfied that it will spring up from inside you, a well of living water unto everlasting life. So not only will it satisfy you, but you'll have so much, it'll be abundant, and you'll be able to share this source of this joy with everybody else. And that's the second instance of water. In chapter 5, we get what we're going to deal with this morning is another introduction to water. So the first water was religious water. Second one is just traditional water, because she calls it Jacob's well. She looks back at her father. She tries to claim Abraham. This Samaritan woman tries to claim Abraham as her descendant. So she tries to claim Abraham. So it's this traditional water. And what we have here in chapter 5, I think, is maybe this mystical water. But it's all the same. Yeah, it's all the same thing. And you go into the world, and if anybody spent any time in the world, there's something for everybody. Something for you. Yeah, if you want religion, you want tradition, you want mysticism, there's something there. And this world has something to offer you. But it's just not enough. Yeah? It's just not good enough. And Jesus Christ is the answer to all of that. So, without any further ado, we'll maybe read chapter 5. Right, chapter 5. I'll only be doing the first 9 verses. We can discuss the rest of it later, but we'll just do the first 9 verses. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. That means mercy, by the way. Having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel... went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been there now long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. And we'll just go that far. I would like you just to take a few minutes now, and I know I do this every time we come to a parable, or not a parable, any time we come to a miracle, just take a few minutes and let's see if we can picture the scene. Let's see if we can put ourselves in the scenario as to what is going on. There's this pool, got a large open area. They've actually excavated this, so it's a natural place. They found these five porches, and there's a pool. And on this pool, there's a whole lot of people who are cripples. They've got palsies. They've had strokes. They've had all types of malaise and difficulties. Some are blind. Some are deaf. Every type of infirmity that you can think of. There are people lying in there. It doesn't look like a hospital. Yeah, you mustn't think of it like a modern-day hospital, because it's nothing like a modern-day hospital. They are beggars. They have nothing. They are destitute. These people, it is noisy, it is smelly, they have to go to the toilet somewhere, it is an ugly place, it is medieval chaos. Even before that, it is ancient world chaos. Yeah, these people are sitting, they're lying on mats, they're talking, it's an open area, it's a public area, it smells and it's dirty and it's not clean. Yeah, every now and then, we can discuss this even afterwards as well, an angel comes down and stirs the water. So everybody there that's lying around this place is anticipating something. They're all intently watching this water. And as soon as the water starts to move, absolute pandemonium breaks out. Absolute chaos. Because everybody knows that they are going to get one chance at this. One shot. And this is what they've been waiting for. There's a whole lot of, I don't know, you got that idea that the cock gun, that they're all ready to go. Everybody is charged up waiting for this moment. As soon as it goes, everybody goes for it. And everybody goes crazy. There are people falling over one another. There are people clamoring to get in. It's a terrible scene, isn't it? You can imagine the humiliation of people who are unable to walk, trying their best and failing. It's a pitiful scene, isn't it? Blind men stumbling around. It's a sad scene. It's ugly. Yeah? And the first person that gets into this pool walks away whole. Walks away healed. With the thing that he wants the most in the world. This guy's the winner. And he gets up and he gets to walk past everybody else. What a scene. And if you think about that, let's just consider the system for a while. Yeah, that's the scene. If you think about the system that they're in, this man had laid at that pool 38 years. How long? 38 years is a long time. It's like a lifetime. Coincidentally, it's the same amount of time that the Israelites spent wandering the desert. You know, there's 1 year, a year on the other side. Yeah, it's interesting, but that's a different number. That's a different idea. Yeah, 38 years, an entire lifetime. This man has sat at that pool watching that water. And the system had not helped this man. Can you imagine his plight? Day in, day out, sitting there looking at that water. Thinking and hoping and praying that today would be the day I get in there. How close do you think he'd gotten over 38 years? Man, he must have been really close. He must have had a prime spot after 38 years. Really gotten himself angled right. He must have an actual plan in his mind. As soon as the water surged, he executes his plan. And this doesn't make it. Oh, close. Yeah. Can you imagine how many Do you think he was friends with the people next to him? If he was in competition with them, do you think he was friends with the guy next to him? Yeah. Do you think they spoke? What kind of relationship did they have? Maybe they were good friends. Do you think what happened when the water was troubled? Were they friends then? And it's this ugly scene, and that situation is difficult. And this man's been in this plight 38 years, living for that pool. Every day. Today will be the day. How many people around that pool have died in their condition? How many people for 38 years? Do you think people have died around that pool? Not having gotten to the pool? Maybe. But this man is in this situation. And for 38 years, all that pool did for him every day was remind him it wasn't good enough. You can't make it, my friend. Can you imagine the irony of the situation? Can you understand the irony of this man? If only he was a bit faster. If only his legs worked a little bit better, he'd make it. Yeah. If only, you see the irony of it. If only I wasn't crippled, I could get into the water. But the fact that I'm crippled, I want to get into the water, it makes no sense, does it? The fact that he's crippled puts him there by the pool. And that's just outside his reach. Just can't make it. Just can't make it. If only he was faster. If only he was stronger. So the reason he's at the pool is because he's broken. But he can't get into the pool because he's broken. And the person is condemned every day to that life by that pool. The sadness of it. Can you see the pity of it? It's a pitiful scene. It's ugly. And it hurts. 38 years. As you read these wonderful passages, it's into this scene that the Son of God steps. King of Glory. Often wonder what he was wearing. Have you ever thought about that? What did he look like? No halo above his head. Just a man. The Son of God incarnated himself. Made in fashion as a man. And he entered that scene. The ugliness of it. The sadness of it. The pity of it. And I'll see him winding his way through all those people. Not this guy, not that. All the way to the front. He comes and he stands in front of this man. Yeah? What a wonderful picture, hey? Nobody else. There's one man. He winds his way. He knows he's been in this situation for that long. That's what it says there. He knew he'd been in that situation for that long. Winds past all of those men. All of that ugliness. He finds this man. He asks him a question. Sounds like a bit of a daft question, doesn't it? Do you want to be made whole? Sounds like a bit of a silly question. Why do you think you asked him that question? I think it's to get a response out of him, to teach us something. Yeah? Definitely to teach me something. To show us what this man was thinking. He says to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" His entire life has been consumed by this pool. And he can't get his eyes off this pool. There's a man standing next to him. But he can't get his... All he wants is that pool. And he responds, and I think this is one of this is what locks me to this passage. Yeah, there's this phrase. The loneliness, the absolute isolation of this phrase. I have no man. I've got nobody. How sad is that? Look where he is. Look at the brokenness of his life. Look at the thing that's consumed him the most, the insult he's taken from this pool. He's standing there and he responds to the Son of God, "I have no man. Nobody." 38 years. Wonder if he started out with people. Maybe at the beginning he had people. One by one they left. 38 long years. Sitting at that pool, And those words echo in your ears, I have no man. Nobody, a family, a friend, no stranger to show him kindness. I am absolutely alone in my plight. And my salvation is just there. And I'm just not strong enough to get it. All my efforts, all the work that I can put in, the strongest might that I can muster is not enough to get me there. All I want to do is get there. And I can't make it. Because I'm broken. See where I'm going with this? Yeah? I'm broken. And I'm all alone. I have no strength. The weird thing is, the amount of faith this man has in that system is phenomenal. Don't you think? 38 years, man. I think he would have given up soon, but he doesn't. Absolute faith in that system, man. I wonder what type of man he made once he left and he met Jesus. Yeah? The faith of this man, that's the pool I want. Yeah? Absolute faith in the system. Little did this man know, standing next to him was the only man that he would ever need in his life. And that man didn't need no pool. Yeah? The Son of God was standing next to him. And that word that spoke this universe into existence, the word that was incarnate, that the actual expressed image of God the Father, turns to this broken man and says, rise up and walk. What? Doesn't have to repeat himself. As soon as the words come out of his mouth, this man, I don't know how it works, I've said this before, I don't know, the sinews come together, the strength is there, not just the strength, but the knowledge of how to walk. I had to learn to walk. Yeah? Everything is there. The strength, the sinews, the knowledge, the experience, everything. This man gets up, picks up his bed, the thing that he was carried in with, he picks it up and he carries it out. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful, straight away. But what does this have to do with me, Mr. Preacher Man? What difference does this make to my life? It's a great story. Makes you feel a bit sad. What does it mean? Yeah? We live in a world that's broken. Yeah. And if you're unsaved, and you're unsaved at the moment, you're broken. Do you accept it or not? You're spiritually broken. Lame. Blind. Palsied. We're broken. And there's a system that we're in. You go out into the world, and you hear that, are you going to get to heaven? No, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. A little bit of effort. I'm going to earn my way into heaven. I can reach that goal. I can earn my own salvation. I can do these things on my own. Just a little bit of effort. No, the system is fundamentally flawed. Yeah. The system is fundamentally flawed. The Bible says that all have sinned. And if we're honest with ourselves and we truly look into ourselves, we know that we are broken. If we look to the law, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Break no graven image. Number one, you break no other gods before me. Don't make any graven image. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. You've done that. Keep the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Oh, that's an easy one. I've never killed anybody. That's a good one. Eh? Yeah? Well, I've never killed anybody. Set the bar pretty low if that's what you're trying to do. Try not to kill everybody. Try not to kill anyone. That's a great thing. Eh? Give yourself a high five for that one. Eh? Not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. That one hurts. Eh? Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Hey? Have you ever broken God's law? The Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. And if you truly apply yourself to this standard, and you try to attain your way into heaven by your own efforts and by your own strength, you will find that you are actually broken. That you are actually flawed. And the keeping of the law is just outside your strength. You can get close. After 38 years of trying, I'm pretty sure you can get very, very close. But you will never get there. Because you cannot save yourself. Every single one of us is guilty before a holy, righteous God. You know what the Bible tells us about the law? The law is a plumb line. You ever seen, you know, plumb lines? Yeah? Plumb line is a long string with a weight on the end. A very sophisticated bit of equipment. Yeah? And when you hang a weight with a piece of string, it hangs perfectly straight down. So when you put it up against the wall, and you put the plumb line against it, you can see that the wall is skewed. You know, you can have a look there, and you can say, and there can be a bit of an argument. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Yeah, I don't know. Could be, couldn't be. Yeah? We've all sat there and looked at something and thought, I thought it was skewed, the other guy doesn't think it's skewed. Yeah? But it's only when you measure it, you actually realize that it is actually skewed. And that's what the plumb line does. The plumb line actually determines who's right and who's wrong. Yeah? It's like a thermometer. David used the example of the thermometer. The thermometer tells you that you're sick.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. But neither the plumb line nor the thermometer will actually save you. But what it does is it tells you that you need someone. And when you come to that point, I have no man, that's when Jesus can help you. But Jesus didn't come to call you. When you're sitting there self-righteous, you're sitting there thinking, I'm fine, I don't need this, Jesus can do nothing for you. But when you come to that point and you realize, I have no man, I'm alone in my plight, because nobody's coming to save you unless you know you need a savior. Jesus can do nothing for you. You hang that plumb line up next to your life. Man, you find out it's pretty skewed. Yeah? You can try as much as you want, but that plumb line's not going to fix it. And you sit with your plight. And you need help. And it's into this scene, when you're at this stage, that I hope and I pray that you're at this stage, that the Son of God enters. And he winds his way through all the people. And he comes and he stands next to you. Yeah. And he asks that stupid question. Do you want to be made whole? You know, the sad thing about this is that man was saved that day. That man was was made whole. But the guy next to him wasn't. Just that man. That man could have said to Jesus, but don't worry. This pool is going to save me. Don't worry. I'm busy. Not today. Not today. I'm just waiting for the pool. What do you think the response would have been? I don't need you. I've got the pool. Dear friend, Jesus is not going to stand around waiting for you. Be careful. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Be careful, hey. It's a sobering thought. Do not forsake the call of God. It's dangerous, hey. God is waiting. Jesus Christ is calling you today, my friend. Respond. The words of the Son of God are coming to you. We read the Word of God this evening. Call upon the name of the Lord while you may be found. This world system will not let you in. This world system will not help you. You have no man. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death into life. What happens when you reject his word? What happens then? Then there's judgment. Consider the man that lay next to him. I was saying that earlier. What happened to the man that lay next to him? Yeah? Why didn't he call out? Why didn't he say, hey, save me too? Yeah? This guy's been there 38 years. Surely he must have known him. Why didn't he call out? What was wrong with him? He might have just been fixed too much on the pool. Yeah? Focused on something else. Now you can sit in the gospel meetings your entire life. You focused on the wrong things and missed the Savior. What a tragedy. You spend your entire life. The Savior is right there. And you're not interested because you're so close and you're so fixed on something else. Can you imagine the regret? Yeah? Can you imagine the regret of that man? Dear friends, you might not regret it today. Your life might go on well for the next 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Have a good life. Get married, have kids. The day will come when you will pass from the scene of time. You will enter eternity. And you will stand before God. You will give an account. You might be relaxed now. It might mean nothing to you now. But I'm telling you, in that day, it will mean everything to you. You will not forget today. You know, the scary thing is, and I say it often, maybe every gospel message I say this. Today will be a day that you will remember forever, whether you're saved or not. If you are saved, it will be, if you get saved today, it will be the day that you remember that you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You will remember this. What's the first today? 1st of February, 2026. Will be a day you remember. For all of eternity, it's the day you got saved. If you don't get saved today, 1st of February, 2026, will be the day that you rejected the call of the Son of God. You went out into a lost eternity. Terrifying, isn't it? Dear friends, make your choice. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Dear Lord God, as we pray, Lord, I earnestly pray, Lord, just for mercy. Lord, I pray for more time. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as this day of grace comes to a close, Lord, we know that, Lord, there is not much time left. Lord, each one of us here is standing on a razor's edge between this world and the next. Men all over the world and women all over the world are passing from this scene of time into eternity. Some see it coming, some don't. Lord, every single one of them stands before a righteous, holy God. Must give account of what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this crowd tonight, if there's anyone sitting in this audience and hears this message, Lord, Lord, that they would repent, Lord, and that they would turn to Jesus Christ for salvation, Lord. I just do pray just for a response to the gospel, Lord. What a thing it would be to stand before a righteous God, knowing that you'd rejected the Son of God and His call. Lord, I just do pray for salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.